Hi, just a quick note. I want to begin by apologizing for not releasing a podcast last week. It was a busy week and I didn't plan properly as I should have. With that, you are going to get a double feature again today. I will go into Krampus and all things related to him and the companions of St. Nicholas. Then I will be going into the history of the goddess Perchta. Everything else is still on track, as far as the stories of the Merry Lude and the Giants. Thank you, and let's get to today's show. Once again, my name is Juwanza, and this is Chaos by Design. I remember my first experience with Krampus being somewhere around my early adult years. I was studying European folklore, a thing I did and still do for research on designs and just to have general knowledge. And I stumbled across the name of Krampus and how he was a horned deity in Germany. He was celebrated in a festival dedicated to him called Krampusnacht, or Krampus Night. And I thought it was a really cool winter tradition to have. And most countries, like Germany and Austria, celebrate him on the 5th of December. Then I read a book from Rom, who is a phenomenal artist and writer, and his book was named Krampus the Yule Lord. I highly recommend it. It has redemption, revenge, love, and delves into the old gods from Slavic and Norse mythology, playing on them as Christmas figures. It even delves into bells, nickels, and what an interesting way to incorporate them into the book. Point being that I enjoy Krampus, the pagan side more so than its pseudo introduction into Christian lore, which I am going to go into today. This is a history on Krampus and the many groups and religions and zealots that have tried to thwart him for a very, very long time. Krampus has been depicted in various forms. He's always bestial, but the form of how demonic looking he is, it varies. Since the 1800s, he has been painted in different forms and given as a Christmas card, not only in paintings, but inkwork and billboard signs to warn people, especially children, to be nice, lest Krampus will eat them for dinner. The depictions of how he has been portrayed over the years changes from having him covered in black fur with a human face, also either black or red. The horns were also a slight color off of whatever color the skin was. He was also depicted with either two hoof legs, two regular legs, and somewhere it was a combination of the two. Aside from being covered in all fur, there are even depictions of him looking more like a satyr, similar to Pan. Lastly, I've seen depictions of him as well where he is wearing traditional German lederhosen suspenders. His origin expands way beyond this time period, but this is the time period where he is most notable going forward to modern times. He's actually as old as the Norse gods and was originally under a pagan holiday, but as time passed on, Christianity has put him into the fold with St. Nicholas and his companions. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy Krampus Night, a holiday in which people gather to see Krampus in all his bestial demon form, wrapped in chains that dangle to the ground, sometimes with bells on them, in a cage or basket strapped across his back where he holds naughty children, either to eat them or send them to hell. On the Christianity side, these depictions are to show him being represented as a devil or being imprisoned. Krampus also used to have a birch broom, which he would use for spanking kids, but to follow Christian beliefs, it has been changed to him holding a whip to symbolize torture. Depending on where you are, other people involved in the festival were known as Perchten. Now later in the show I will go over the goddess Perchta and the Perchten War, but for now, Perchten were dressed in wooden masks or bestial costumes and hold sticks to poke and beat adults and kids as they follow Krampus through the streets. Once all the chaos has subsided in the night, the following day, people would be greeted by St. Nicholas, or Santa Claus in some parts, and given presents for surviving said night. It didn't always correlate with religion. In fact, groups and fascist groups have tried to remove Krampus from existence. In an unfortunate way, they sort of succeeded in that regard, because all depictions of his pagan origin are not as documented in the present day like his Christian depiction, and they managed to bring him into their religion, much like other pagan holidays. What I do know of his origin is that it is Norse, with his mother being Hela, and the father unknown. It is pretty cool that she, of the Norse deities, is his mother because her father is Loki, and she, alongside her brothers Fenrir and Jormungandr, grew up in Jotunheim, the land of the giants, before Odin wanted them to live with their father in Valhalla, and Hela moving to Niflheim. Now, Niflheim is important because in some stories of Krampus, this is where he would send them, the kids. Now, he would use his birch broom to spank children or use his magical powers to turn his broom into like a large broom for him to ride on, with the kids sitting on the back of that broom to be carried away with him. And as I mentioned earlier, he was recognized as a satyr and similarly a leshy, which is a Slavic for spirit that likes to prank people, which I can see the correlation with that. I believe that his lore reached a lot of Europe, not just Austria and Germany, but Italy and Bavaria and other European nations too. And I think that because he was so well known in these countries, they had different depictions of him and formed their opinion of what exactly he was. Now, somewhere along the lines in the early 1900s is when things started to go downhill as far as celebrating and remembering Krampus. Austria was under a far-right national regime known as Vaterlandische Front, or English as the Fatherland Front. This is around the time that the Nazi Party in Germany was having influences throughout Europe, and the Austrian leader at the time, Engelbert Dollfuss, was looking for a way to gain more power. He did so by aligning himself with the Fascist Party in Italy and Nazi Germany, having the Democratic Party of Austria fight him in the midst of a civil war. And fight him they did. Eventually, the Fatherland Front won the civil war in just 3 days and gained power. Even though they were only around for 5 years, they managed to have a foothold in trying to squash any sort of pagan holidays that people were celebrating. Now, the Fatherland Front, they were a clerico-fascist group, and what that means is that they based their ways on religious superiority and dominance. Since they were based on religion, they deemed Krampus to be ill-fitted for their ways and wanted him erased. And in the time of their regime, trying to rid Austria of Krampus, all they did was just make him more popular. There was a resortment to making Krampus greeting cards, as they did before, to celebrate him without causing too much of a ruckus during this time period, a tradition that they've been practicing since the 1800s. I don't even believe that this is the first time that people and religion has tried to get rid of him. Catholicism has been around for centuries, and Krampus even longer. I'm fairly certain that he's battled them through the centuries of trying to get rid of him, even before the Fatherland Front had attempted it back then. And it's crazy to me that it continued even in the 1950s and so on, with religious groups giving out pamphlets stating that Krampus was an evil man, which I think, you know, I think he would be offended by that. Just saying. So, because religion couldn't beat him, they decided to put him in their fold and make him part of their beliefs. This happened around the 1970s. So what they did was they combined him with St. Nicholas, who was a priest back in like the 357 AD. And so what they did was they combined Germanic or Slavic holiday traditions, such as Farmhand Rupert, Black Pete, and the Bellsnickels, and followed that by Krampus. Calling them the Companions of St. Nicholas is I don't know, it's weird to me. But what's interesting about the companions before it gets to Krampus and St. Nicholas, the other companions mark who is good and who is bad. In some ways, this could kind of be seen as like a disguise for either St. Nicholas or Krampus, however you want to, you know, depict them, because they're marking who they are going to go to when it becomes Krampus night and St. Nicholas the next day. I'm going to go into these, you know, people, and I want you to tell me what you think. First up is Farmhand Rupert, a grumpy druid-like old man who would greet kids with his fairy companions behind him, and what he would do is he would ask the kids if they knew how to pray. If they said yes, he would give them treats like apples and gingerbreads and sweets. If they did not, he would give them sticks or coal, and even at one point he would beat them with ash. Following that, we had Black Pete. Black Pete is an interesting character because in some depictions he was a demon, and others he was Spanish Blackamoor, or as they say, like a black man from Spain. And what he would do is he would travel with Odin during the Wild Hunt, and he would take Odin's two crows and listen in the chimneys to see who is and has been either good or bad. Once he and the ravens have enough information, they report back to Odin to give him the list of people that needed to be taken away. And this also is a story that happens, I guess, later in time. They change it from Odin to the German form of Santa Claus. He's called Sinterklaas. On a side note, now, I know I just mentioned Black Pete, and he is a controversial character in lore. As I said, he was depicted either as a black man or as a demon in early iterations, and the depictions of him have people dress in blackface with elaborate colored Renaissance clothing. Now, a lot of European countries that still celebrate Black Pete still find it, they're not too big a fan of it. They've kind of want it phased out, so I don't think that he will be existing for a long period more. It's just going to take some time to phase him out. Lastly, we have the Belsnickels. The Belsnickel was a Germanic man in fur who would wear a creature-like mask with a long tongue. He would give kids candy if they were nice, placing it in their shoes, and if not, leaving them with coal or spankings. He was also considered to be a very grumpy individual. Some people would see him as evil, and if he felt that the children were naughty, he would give them a birch stick, and what that was to symbolize that they were going to be greeted by Krampus. So it makes me wonder how they connected all these characters with St. Nicholas. And I believe that it was a way for them to bring European and pagan traditions to fold them into Christianic belief. Now, Krampus has had more of a comeback in popularity over the years. Well before the book created by Brahm, but I think that that and the Krampus horror movie that released in 2015 definitely brought him current, especially in the stateside, which in my opinion is a good thing. Despite now being associated with the way he is, Krampus still exists in some shape or form, and the costume designs even now always go all out to make him look as demonic or bestial as he is, and you know, the amount of design work that goes into those creations is awesome to see, and the event itself is incredibly fun. Now, onto something I find very interesting and is more of a theory with how Krampus Night works and how the companions work as well, is that they could all very well be one person, or at least that's how they are being portrayed in some cases. And I say that because of how Krampus and St. Nicholas work in tandem. On December 5th, Krampus takes the naughty children away, inciting fear in people and children, mostly to be good. Otherwise, he'll eat them or send them to hell. And then you have St. Nicholas coming the following day, giving gifts and spreading joy to those who were good and survived the night and respectable, which, you know, now that I think about it, that's kind of odd. like, hey, you survived the night, so here, have a present. And in a way, it's become its own lore. Like, the companions of St. Nicholas all come before he does. And in a lot of ways, could be transformations of one person. Think in a magical sense, if you will. And it is that kind of magic in the lore of the characters that doesn't get presented in much, if at all. It is that kind of magic in the lore of the characters that doesn't get presented at all, if, you know, very little. And based on what each of them can do, whether it's the farmhand giving apples, or to well-behaved kids and ash, or birch sticks to others, followed by, you know, the Bellsnickels and Black Pete, and how they are, all before Krampus comes and takes the bad ones away so that St. Nicholas comes to give the good, it all ends with people getting their just desserts. And I think that that has some sort of interesting lore behind it. Frau Perchta is an interesting figure in Germanic lore, known as the belly slitter for her method of handling children who misbehave or are lazy, and as Geburata Nacht, meaning the night of shining forth or manifestation. Even some people call her the boogeyman. She has many names and two sides to her name that make her beautiful to some and horrifying to others. You see, Frau Perchta, much like the Norse god Odin, has a wild hunt of her own. It could even be the same one, but she travels with her pack of Stregel, demonic creatures that are similar looking to Krampus, a pack of elves, and unbaptized children, looking to see who has been naughty, lazy, nice, and kind. She doesn't just go after children. She goes after women who keep their house unkempt as well. And if you don't leave a bowl of porridge for her, she will open your stomach, take out your organs, and replace it with straw, just like her namesake. There is no clear origin for when Perchta originated, much like Krampus. She has connections with Norse mythology, but she also has connections with Greek and German. Many believe that she could be Hecate, Hulda, Berchtold, and even Nilfgaard. And I believe also Berta, she's more of a German. She has many more names and would appear that she has many shapes too. Though many will see her as a crone, she's not all bad. She presents herself in a way, in two different ways. First up is a white garb to signify her beauty when giving children presents and good fortune to those who behave well. Her alternate persona seems to be linked to the misgivings of those who offend her and are just blatantly disrespectful. Coincidentally, the crone version of her shows her with an elongated beak, which could even be a shape-shifting power of hers. That's right, not only does she shift between a goddess form and a crone, this lady can shapeshift into about any form she chooses, and this lady chooses the beast of the wild. It's a pretty interesting choice and a badass one too. Earlier I mentioned that Perchta traveled with a pack of creatures known as Stregil, and their similarity to Krampus. You'd think Krampus would belong to them. It would be really cool if by chance Krampus gave Perchta some of his blood to give her an army of the wild hunt and just go to town. It's not as magical as that. In fact, her minions sometimes appear as either furry horned creatures with a similar look to Krampus, or they appear more bestial. And what they do is they go to houses who expect to receive a blessing when they know that they've been bad and not good at all, and they ransack their homes and rip apart their children who have been naughty. And they do this with Perchta's blessing. And to the ones that are nice, they just enjoy the treats that are left behind to enjoy. There is no clear origin on how she found them. If I ever find it, maybe I will explain in another episode down the road, maybe next year. But for now, this is all I could find. Aside from all the wrath and joy she brings, because she does bring joy, she also has what could be an even sweeter side. During the Wild Hunt, or Perkton, lost children known as Heimchen would come back from the dead and walk with her, getting to enjoy the events alongside Perkta and all her followers. They would also take some of the porridge left out as well, which is why I think that if people don't leak porridge, they end up facing her wrath too. It may seem haunting with how it could go either way with her wrath, but I think a lot of families actually saw this as a way for them to reach out to their loved ones. It's like a winter version of the Day of the Dead, in a way. Sadly, and similarly, like Krampus, religion has tried to stomp her out as well, deeming offerings to her as blasphemous and as a way of smiting their lord or religion. It's pretty bad how religion takes pagan traditions and forces people to get rid of those traditions to warp them into the way that they can use them to bring people into their fold. It's sad at the lengths that people go to smite people for what they pray for, but then convert it to their beliefs to make themselves seem as if they are making it better, when in fact all it does is come off the wrong way. But, you know, time has taken so much of these stories and these histories that I think people forget what all happened, or they don't care. And I think in some ways that's pretty sad. And interesting enough, Krampus, St. Nicholas, Perkta and her transformations, they have this unique structure with duality. And I mention this because I think that Krampus and Perkta are because I think that they are playing on the psyche of man, or humans, if you will. And humans are two sides of a coin. We can be cruel, violent, greedy, and everything that can be cold. But we can also be everything that is kind and warm. We go through life every day, not knowing what the day may bring us, and we have the option that day to be whatever we want to be. We can decide to hate someone one day and then love them the next. We can decide to be violent to others or offer them a helping hand. And I see this in both Krampus and Perkta. On the one hand, they weed out evil to open the door for something good. Thank you for tuning in this week. This was a very difficult episode to put together. I hope that I brought some sort of enlightenment to Krampus and Perkta. And hopefully, you know, maybe one year I'll find more history on them. But this is all I could find so far. If you would like to talk to me, or, you know, come up with recommendations for future episodes, you can reach me on Twitter at CrypticOrcStew. And you can also find me on Twitch at Cryptic Orchestra. And from there, because I don't have a site yet, and I apologize, you can also find my Discord. And you can talk to me on Discord about any topic you want. And tell me, you know, tell me stories, like what you'd like to hear from me, what games you're currently playing, what anime, films, even music that you're listening to. And if you have something creepy that you want to share with me that you think I should put on this podcast, please, I would love to hear it. I love all the creepy, the scary murder, all that stuff kind, not the, yeah. Anyway, as always, thanks for listening, stay safe, and be well.